Level, listen, I've been a Christian a long time, and he has never let me down. I've let him down, but he's never let me down. He's never relaxed his hold on me, and whether you know it or not, he's never relaxed his hold upon you, and he never will.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Good day, everyone. Today on Love Never Fails, Pastor Bill completes a study in the New Testament epistle of 1 Peter with the conclusion to the message, Stand Firm in God's Grace. Let's listen in.
1 John 5:18 and 19. It says, we know that we are of God, and we have overcome the wicked one. The wicked one touches us not. For the whole world lieth in the sway, the arms of the wicked one. Amen? So we know those things. Now look, and let me say something else. I heard someone on the radio the other day that really bothered me. Beware of those who teach that the devil is bound. If he is, he's on the longest chain in the history of the world. Amen? I'm telling you, no. Listen, now look at verse 9. Look at another command. What are we to do? What are they to do? Resist him, and then he tells us how. Look at this. Steadfast, that's a military term, stand your ground. Don't give in. Don't run. Steadfast in the faith. Now, did you notice the word the? The faith, that's a definite article, meaning your faith. The Bible teaches in Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. And that's us, loved one. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same kind of sufferings are experienced, Peter writes, to your brotherhood in the world. So remember, in that day, the tribes were scattered in the five provinces of the Roman Empire. They were all suffering together. So resist means it doesn't mean to attack. It means to stand your ground. You can't fight the wicked one in your own strength, can you? No, he wants you to do that. That's why the word of God is so important. Ephesians 6:10, what did Paul say? Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord, not yourself. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians, 10, I think it is, 3 and following. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not of this world. But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We need the strength of God. And then Paul goes on there in Ephesians, right, and says, put on the whole armor of God. Every piece, you need all of it. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand, and there's that word again, or withstand, resist, the wiles or the strategies of the devil. James said the same thing, another command. Therefore, submit to God, in James 4:7, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That is a command followed by a promise. Submit to God, the command. Resist the devil, he will flee from you, the promise. Now here's the deal. If you don't submit to God first, you're not going to be resisting any devil. Do you understand? You have to submit to God first. Then you resist the devil. Listen, we demonstrate his defeat, and he is defeated. We demonstrate his defeat just like Jesus did. Jesus, in the temptation scene in the wilderness, what did he tell the devil? Matthew 4:4. He said, it is written, and it still stands written, man shall not live by bread alone. Remember, he was tempting with the bread. Turn this stone into bread if you're the king and all that. And he says, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What is our only really defensive weapon? The word of God, Ephesians 6:17. You take that up. It's the word of God. That's the sword of the Spirit, loved one. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You better know your enemy. He knows you. The Bible tells us in 1 John 4:4, greater is he who is in you than he who is in this world. Amen? And look what he says now in verse 10. But may the God of how much grace? I love that verse, don't you? All grace. God is a God of all love, all grace, all mercies, all comfort, all hope, all peace. Our Father is the source. He is the possessor. He is the giver of all grace. Amen. The unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor of the living God. Now listen, why do we need grace? Number one, we need grace to live. Amen. We certainly need grace to suffer persecution, and we need grace to suffer for Jesus' sake. Amen. We need all of those things. We need grace to face everything in this life. And the reason we have it is because God cares for you. He says, who called us? I love this scripture. Who called us to his eternal glory. And how did he do it? By Christ Jesus. Now listen, he called you. Did you know? We already know, but do you still stand amazed that God chose you in him, meaning Jesus, before the foundation of the earth? Doesn't that blow you away? That your name, before there was a heavens, before there was an earth, before anything was ever formed, God knew you. He knew your name. He knew the color of your eyes. Your name is as old as God, and God is eternal. He has no beginning and no ending. He has always been. Amen? Does that not blow you away? And I think, oh, Lord, you've called us, it says, to his eternal glory. We've already learned from Peter that we've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen? But here it says, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us back over in chapter 1, I think it's verse 4, that we have an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, that never fades away, reserved for us in heaven. It's kept or guarded by the power of God. Amen? Heaven is our home, loved one. And I look at that and at this verse right here and again, and I don't want to get weird, but he called you. He called me. And it says, look at it, to his eternal glory. Has anyone ever been to glory? His eternal glory? A glory that never ends? Loved one, listen, no matter how difficult life might be, suffering right now, then, today, suffering, persecution, always leads to glory. Always. What did Paul say? 2 Corinthians 2:14. Thanks be unto God our Father, who always, not sometimes, who always leads us in triumph or in victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. Wherever he is leading you right now, and if he's not leading you, you're in trouble. But if God is leading you, if you're following Jesus, okay, listen to me. He's not leading you to torment. He's leading you to victory. And you know, to get the victory, you might have to do some fighting. You might have to suffer just a little bit in your life. No, listen, someone was talking to me the other day and they said, you know, I don't know about heaven and all that. I really like it here. I said, well, I don't know tell me what you like here. Were you Dunkin' Donuts or something? I mean, listen. See, we don't have a clue about heaven. Come on. Do you know the moment? Oh, church, listen to me. I'm telling you, when we meet him who spoke everything in existence, we meet him. I mean, you know, in the Bible it talks about we'll see the tree of life. And in your mind, in my mind too, I go, oh, tree of life. Okay, and I look at a tree, like maybe apple tree. I don't know. No, it's a tree. You've never seen a tree. Do you understand me? No, you've seen a tree that's cursed on this planet. Is the earth cursed? Is nature cursed? Yes, because of the fall. You've never seen a tree. Ooh, did I just spit on you? It's the anointing. We're going to start a new movement, the spitting movement. No, you haven't seen a tree. You haven't seen grass. You haven't seen water. Do you understand? You've seen water. I'm going to see water. When you see the tree of life and the leaves that bear the fruit that's going to heal the nations in heaven, what do you think? I say the fruit. You don't know what it's going to. No, you've never seen fruit. You've seen corrupt fruit. Are you following me? And the moment that you close your eyes, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And there we are. Listen to me. And did you know you're going to see him face to face? No. Face to face. Let me read a scripture to you from Revelation 22:3. And there shall be no more curse. See, there's no curse there. But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. Now listen, and his servants shall serve him. Now that is going to be so cool. There we are, all of us, we're going to be there. And listen now, they shall see his face. You're going to see God. You're going to see the God who dwells in inapproachable light. Any man see him, you're going to die here. But when we get home, you're going to see Jesus on that throne. You're going to see God on that throne. You shall see his face. And you know what he's going to do? His name, it says, will be on your foreheads. There shall be no night there, for the Lamb is its light. Oh, you want to be here? Everything is, you just can't imagine what it's going to be like, because our Father cares for you. What a day that's going to be. And then he says, look what he says now to them. He knows they're hurting. He knows they're going through it. He knows they're losing those they love. He's losing husbands and wives and children in that horrible persecution by Nero. He says, after you've suffered a while, meaning a little while, just a little while compared to eternity, okay? There's a divine limit, let's put it that way, to what people go through, what we go through, isn't there? Yes, God has the clock. And then what Peter does here, he uses five future tense verbs. Watch this. After you've suffered a while, it says, perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. When we go through it, suffering and persecution and hard times, they don't tear a person, a Christian, down and ruin them if you believe in God, if you trust the Word of God, amen? If you let the Holy Spirit live through you and his strength. Listen, we all have to do that, loved one. He says, oh no, what is suffering going to do? God says, I'm going to perfect you. That word means restore. It's a picture of Matthew 4:21, remember Peter and them mending the nets. I'm going to put you back together. You're not going to be, look at my life. Look what I've gone through. Look what it's done to me. No, he said, I'm your God and I care for you. I'm going to put you back together. I'll mend everything that was wrong to you. I will never ever waste one painful experience that you've gone through in your life. And I can testify, loved one, to that. God says, I'm going to establish you. That word literally, I'm going to make you as solid and as hard as granite. Oh man. God says, I'm going to strengthen you. Oh, this persecution made me so weak. What I've experienced. No, God said, No, I don't let my children, once they get through it, I'm going to restore you, man. I'm going to strengthen you back. He says, not only that, I'm going to settle you. What does that mean? It means it's like putting you on a foundation that's unshakable. It means putting you back and say, listen, you're firm, you're strong, you're not weak, you're not falling apart, you belong to me, you're a child of the living God. And he says, listen, I'm going to lay a foundation that you can walk on that's going to be solid. It's the same word that Jesus used in Matthew 7:24, I think it was, where Jesus said, whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the, there's that word, foundation. The storms of life came and all the rest of it. Did that house fall? No. And the reason? It was founded on these sayings of mine, the word of the living God. Amen. Listen, no matter what we face, we're not going to fall apart, loved one, at all. God says, no, I'll build you back up. I'm God. I can do anything. Amen. He says, oh, to him, yes, to him be glory, not us. Oh, to him be glory. That's the eighth time Peter uses that word, the final time too. He says, oh, to him be glory, dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him. Now, we know that to be, I believe most scholars agree, that's Silas of Acts chapter 16, who traveled with Paul on the second missionary journey. The Bible tells us in Acts 15:32, Silas was a prophet. It also tells us in Acts 16:37 that he was a citizen of Rome. He traveled with Peter, and here he assisted Peter as the secretary. As Peter quoted everything, he wrote it all down and probably delivered the letter, I'm not for sure. So now we're back to the theme where we began in the very first sermon, the theme of Peter. Here it is, why he wrote. I have written to you, how long? Briefly. I've written you a very short letter. The purpose, look at that word, exhorting, parakaleo, that means to come alongside of you, to encourage you, to strengthen you. He says, to exhorting you and testifying. And Peter used a significant word there, only found here in the New Testament. And what he's saying is this, what I am saying to you right now, I know what you're going through, I know you're suffering, but what I say now is not only truthful, it is eternally reliable. He says, testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. Now listen, what does he do to them and to us in suffering and persecution? He just gave them a command. He says, whatever you do, you stand, you take your stand in the grace of God. Because if you are in the grace of God, God will turn your trial into triumph. Amen? First Peter is a handbook on victory and persecution and suffering and trials in this life, loved one. If we do what God says, yes, it's going to hurt. Yes, it's going to be painful. And yes, we're going to have tears. But when we do it God's way, we will never fail. And that's what he's saying right here. So he writes to give them that kind of assurance. And then he says, and she who is in Babylon, elect, that means who God has chosen, elect together with you, greets you, and so does Mark, my son. Now, I believe here, Mark, of course, is the one who wrote the Gospel of Mark. That's Barnabas's cousin. Now, here is a very disputed passage as we close this great epistle. Some people, the great scholars who I love and admire, man, they say that she is feminine in the Greek, okay, that she is referring to the church in Babylon, okay? And other scholars say that she refers, since it's feminine, to Peter's wife and not to the church at all. Now, we do know, did Peter actually have a wife that traveled with him? Yes, 1 Corinthians 9:5 tells us that. Matter of fact, Clement of Alexandria said this. He tells us that Peter's wife died a martyr and executed in Peter's own sight while he encouraged her by saying, remember the Lord. Now, some scholars say that Babylon was symbolic for a symbolic reference for Rome. And at that time, Rome was called regularly Babylon. Now, we know that Peter was in Rome during his final years of his life, amen? Because he was martyred under Nero. Now, we also know that Mark was in Rome too. Remember why? Remember Paul in 2 Timothy? He told Timothy, oh, bring the parchments and bring my coat. I'm cold, Timothy. And he come before winter and he says, and bring especially Mark. He's useful to me. So we know that Mark was in Rome. We know that Peter, I believe, was in Rome. We had to have been. And Paul was in Rome at this time. Amen? So there's a possibility then that strengthens the fact that Babylonian here was actually just a reference to Rome. And then verse 14. People skip over this and they shouldn't. Greet one another with what? Say that with me. A kiss of love. How important is that scripture? That's a very important scripture. Because, see, we're so far removed from the kiss of love, we don't know what it means. That was not only of deep respect, but it was of tremendous welcome to believers. And did you know something? Jesus valued that. Matter of fact, he was grieved when the kiss of love was not given unto him. He was invited to a dinner, remember? And in Luke 7:45, read it later, and it says, you know, Jesus, when he walked in the guest, he said, you didn't give me this, you didn't give me that, you didn't kiss me, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since I have arrived. So that was valued by our Lord. But the problem with the kiss of love, that it was abused. By the 4th century, it was no longer tolerated in the church. Men kissed men, and women kissed women, you follow me? Because it was abuse. Today, what do? We give a hug, we give a handshake, we give a fist bump, we give a high five. Peace to all who are in Christ Jesus. And he says, amen. Peace to all. Isaiah 48:22, there is no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. Amen? Oh, not at all. Listen, only those in Christ have peace. Romans 5:1, Jesus himself is our peace. Ephesians 2:14. Oh, listen, Jesus has given us his peace. John 14:27. He's given it to us. Loved one, listen to me now. The Neros of this world, and of course, the old wicked one, the devil who walks about like a roaring lion. If you do what God's word said, they're not going to defeat you. They're not going to defeat you at all. I know. What I'm about to tell you, I believe with all of my heart because I've lived it. All that we go through as a Christian in this life, and it doesn't make us worse. It makes us better. It makes us love more. It makes us forgive more. It makes us love God more because we know that His word is true. Amen? And His promises. And listen, if you're going through it right now, your life is not falling apart. It is falling into place. Do you understand? God is getting everything in order. Why? Because our victory is an unchangeable, eternal position in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you understand? We've already won. We've already won, loved one. The Bible tells us, as I'm closing, it says in Psalm 46, I love this, God is our refuge. God is our shelter from danger. God is our strength. God is our strength. Not the upcoming presidential election. That went over big on this side. If you think that's our strength, you need to repent. I love you, but you need to repent. God is our strength. And not only that, a very present help in trouble. What does that mean? It means that all the world's refuges are lies. There's only one refuge. It means that all other strength is weakness compared to God. Amen? Oh, let me continue. Therefore, he says, we will not fear. Why? Well, God is our refuge. We will not fear. Listen to what he says. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. And then he says, Selah. Pause right there. That's what Selah. Pause. Think about this. Everything familiar in your life is gone. And he says, and even if it is, we will not fear. Listen, Christianity defeated Rome. 313 AD, Constantine the Great became the emperor, and he declared a Christianity the religion of the Roman Empire. See, we won. Oh, did they? Many died? Yes, they did. I'm going to tell you something. Nothing Christian, if you're in Christ Jesus, nothing can ever separate you from the calling, the God who called you to this grace, to his eternal glory. But you know, God also called the world. Did you know that? He called the world to believe in him. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but by him, the whole world might be saved. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him, not perish, have everlasting life. If you're not a Christian this morning, you're listening on the radio right now, or you're listening live right now, Jesus died for you and he loves you. Will you come to him if you don't know the Lord? You know what Jesus said about that in John 5:40? He said, why is it? He said, why are you not willing to come to me that you might have life? As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and every Christian praying, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've never asked him to be the Lord of your life, you can do so right now. You do have to raise your hand high and put it back down. And that way I know that you're saying, I want Jesus to be my Lord. Anyone at all in this early service, if that's you, please lift your hand right now. Say, Bill, I want to be saved. I want Jesus to be my Lord. Anyone at all, I'm going to close this out if I don't see a hand. Father, I don't believe I see one hand, but if you're listening live, listen, if you raise that hand, ask Christ right now. Say, Lord, save me. Save me right now, and he will. Lord, we thank you as we end the first epistle of Peter. We thank you that, Lord, your word, if we do what you say, we're going to win, even though it hurts to win sometimes. We give you praise, and I give you thanks, Lord, for the sheep of your pasture. Lord, I thank you for this great church, and it is a great church and wonderful sheep, oh Lord, that love one another. The Lord keep us now in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen.
Well, the Epistle of 1 Peter was a great study from God's Word, and we pray that it's been a blessing to you as well. And now, we look ahead for Pastor Bill's next series. We encourage you to tune in tomorrow when Pastor Bill begins the New Testament Epistle of 2 Peter. Amen? Thanks, everyone, for listening to the broadcast. May the Lord bless the remainder of your day. So long. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth,
Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.